The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
It's a great pleasure to welcome all of you to Best Ideas 2019 and this live session with our returning instructor, Sid Choraria, one of my favorite instructors in the MY Global community and someone who's shared his wisdom and ideas with us in the past, and I'm sure many of you have benefited from that. So it's truly a pleasure to introduce Sid. He is based in Singapore. He joined Amiral Gestion as portfolio manager and head of Asia research to adopt Amiral's value investment process in the inefficient Asian equity markets, focusing on management incentives, return on capital, investing in smaller and mid-cap Asian companies, and generally in high-quality Asian companies. He was instrumental in the launch of the Singapore office of Amiral, which is a $4.5 billion global investment firm with offices in Paris, Madrid, and Singapore. Amiral was founded by François Badelon in 2003. Prior to Amiral, Sid worked as portfolio manager and vice president at APS Asset Management in Singapore, a leading hedge fund in Asia. Sid also worked at Goldman Sachs, Merrill Lynch, and Morgan Stanley in Hong Kong. Over the last 5 years, Sid has won multiple global investment research awards and has also generously shared his wisdom and ideas with our community, as many of you know. A Japanese investment research report by Sid even elicited a response from Warren Buffett to keep your eyes open. Sid received an MBA from New York University in 2011 and was a recipient of the Harvey Becker Scholarship. Joining Sid today is John Xu. He is an analyst at Amiral Singapore. So on behalf of the MOI Global membership community, a very warm welcome to both of you, Sid and John. Please go ahead.
Okay, yeah, thank you very much, John, for that great introduction, and thank you for having me. As John mentioned, my name is Sid Choraria, portfolio manager at Amiral Gestion. My philosophy is to invest intelligently when Asia's Mr. Market is fearful in high-quality businesses across Asia, primarily fishing in markets like China, India, Japan, and some of the high demographic markets in Southeast Asia. I find that to be a very rewarding exercise because Asia's Mr. Market is often, excessively fearful or excessively greedy. And, you can adopt the time-tested principles of Benjamin Graham, Charlie Munger, and Warren Buffett very well in Asia. So today I'm joined by my colleague, John Xu, who focuses on Chinese equities full-time. We are going to present Shanghai Airport. We actually copied the idea from Charlie Munger, an interview almost a year ago that we came across when the stock was trading at much lower prices, when China's Mr. Market was fearful, as you know, down almost 30% last year. To quote from Charlie Munger, on the first slide in yellow, I have the quote: always look for durable competitive advantages. One of the things we got into was the Shanghai Airport, the main airport in China with no net debt, with no debt. How can you lose with the main airport of China? This is a quote by Charlie Munger. So the thesis is fairly simple. It's a $14 billion market cap company listed in the China A-share market, which is a very inefficient market. The company is consistently net cash. It has an enterprise value of about 12.8 at today's prices. From a valuation perspective, a free cash yield of about 6 to 7%, and a price to earnings ex cash of about 15 to 18 times. The key and why we present the idea today is that it is a very large liquid idea that offers a very defensible investment idea in a market that is set to be volatile over the next few years. So you want to, I want to own in a long-only portfolio securities that fall less than the market. And I think Shanghai Airport is one such idea in a China portfolio. The key with Shanghai Airport is that the revenue is more predictable, as they have a minimum guarantee from the duty-free concessions that they signed in 2018, making this a very predictable, liquid large cap idea that is available at fair prices. And there's a very long growth runway for the company over the next 20 years, as the Chinese consumer is just getting started traveling. The next slide. So why is Shanghai Airport worth your attention? Here, I'd like to play the video of Charlie Munger that we came across. So I'll play the video now.
So what worries the American people more than investing in China? There are more competitive investing. All of them. Competitive investing. One of the things we got to do is the Shanghai Airport. The main airport is no jet. Yes, and this is my investment. But how do you look for me? Although I have a very nice young Chinese American adult friend.
So, you know, in my case, I have John Zhu who helps me. This video inspired us to look further into the idea. So let's think about why is Shanghai Airport worth your attention. The three key points I'd like to raise here are that it has a moat. Location, location, location. Pricing power levels, as I said, they have signed a duty-free concession which has a minimum guarantee for the next 6 to 7 years, which provides a very predictable revenue stream. There are 70 million passengers that pass by Shanghai Airport every year, and this number is set to almost go to about 160 million over a long period of time. And so there is a long growth runway. Only 4% of Chinese hold passports. This number should rise to 12 to 15% by 2025. The structural trend also makes this a no-brainer. The retail spend per passenger is just one-third of Hong Kong and Singapore. Paris retail spend is also three times of Shanghai Airport. The most important thing when you look for forecasting revenues and profits is predictability. And revenue has grown every year for Shanghai Airport since 1999, except probably 1 year. This will continue to grow every year for the next foreseeable future that we can see. Combined with rising incomes, GDP per capita, it's almost certain that we can have a high degree of predictability in the revenue and profits for this company. As I said, in valuation, 6 to 7% free cash flow yield. Low to mid to high teens earnings ex cash multiple. I think of it like a bond in a perpetual sense, except for the current market environment, which is quite volatile. I'd like to invest in high quality, predictable, large liquid ideas, depending on the portfolio size you're running. In terms of the shareholder ownership, it has a strong SOE backing, and the incentive alignment, as we can see, is largely in line with minority shareholders. The cost of capital is also low, given the backing. On the next slide, next three slides are some drivers, the structural drivers for the trends. This slide talks about the number of passenger volumes. So Shanghai Airport has risen from obscurity, from below the 30th rank in 2000, 2005, and 2009, and today stands at about 70 million, which is now in the top 10. We forecast this to go to about 100 million in the next 5 to 6 years, and this should go to 160 million by 2040. That's more than a double from current levels. So there's a much longer term horizon that you can take with this idea, and investors should take advantage of China's Mr. Market, which is going to be excessively fearful or excessively exuberant to enter, Shanghai Airport at prices that they feel has a high degree of margin of safety. The next slide shows the second trend, which is the number of takeoffs and landings. Again, Shanghai Airport has risen from obscurity, from below the 30th rank to now in the top 10, and consistently rising, as can be seen in 2013, 2015, and 2017. The next slide, slide 7, shows the cargo traffic. Again, Shanghai Airport has risen from obscurity in 2000, top 10 in 2005, and top 3 since 2009. The next section, I'd like to talk more about the financials, which is the predictable and high earnings power through various economic cycles of the company. So this is just a profile page for those unfamiliar with Shanghai Airport. I won't repeat the key stats mentioned previously. The key point here to note is the revenue breakdown by segment. The first point here I'd like to highlight is the aeronautical revenues account for about 46% in 2017. This figure was as high as 65% 10 years ago, and 5 to 6 years up from now will continue trending lower in the mid-30s. So this is positive, as this is a lower margin business, which as the mix changes, the EBIT margins have improved and will continue to improve. The second segment, which is in the light blue color, which is called the non-aero or commercial rental business, this accounts for about 37%, about 70% of the non-aero is related to commercial rental, which is primarily duty-free concession agreements with leading Chinese duty-free operators, which, as I said, in 2017, there was a regulatory change which allowed for them to sign on a very attractive agreement with one of the operators, Sunrise, that allows for a minimum guarantee of revenue over the next 10 years, which makes this a pretty interesting idea now. In terms of the assets, the company has 2 terminals, 1 and 2. There are 4 runways. They operate them, and they have a satellite 1 and 2 terminal in construction, which will be operational in the second half of this year. Moving on to the next page of the financials. As I said, there are 3 business segments, the aero, non-aero, and other. So this page discusses the aeronautical revenues. The key point here to note is that this revenue line grows with the enplanements and the overall passenger growth rate. The contribution for this segment, as I mentioned earlier, has been coming down because of the growth in the second segment, which is non-aero, which is becoming more and more and increasingly more important towards the underlying intrinsic value of Shanghai Airport. The point I'd like to say here is that we think that aeronautical revenues should go from 46% in 2018 to as low as 30% by 2025. There are some couple key drivers here. They are listed on the slide. Number 1 is the flight-related revenue, and the number 2 is passenger and cargo. I won't go into a lot of detail into these 2, but if you want to take a key message from the slide, it is really that this contribution mix will decrease over time. This is a lower margin business, 10 to 20% OP margin, and as the revenue mix lowers, your EBIT margin will go up. That is the key point. Moving on to the next slide, this is the second business segment, which is the non-aero side. So contrary to the aero mix, this segment's revenue contribution has gone up over time. So this is still very low compared to international peers, which are as high as 70 to 80%. The key driver for this revenue segment, there are several lines, but the one that I'd like you to focus on the slide is the commercial rental revenues. There are two parts to the commercial rental revenues. The first part is the duty-free concession agreement that I highlighted when I introduced the Shanghai Airport, and John will talk about this in more detail. But essentially, the key point here is that commercial rental revenue contribution as a percentage of this the non-aero segment was 49% in 2008. It is 69% in 2017, and we model this to grow to 87% by 2025. So the main driver here, as I said, is the duty-free concession. The duty-free contribution to commercial rental revenue is approximately 80 to 85, and there is a minimum guarantee and variable component to it. So pre-2017, the minimum guarantee was low and the variable component was also low. However, there was a regulatory change where there was an open tender offered where both the minimum guarantee and the variable component for the next 10 years have increased and provide significant visibility to the minority investor. Outside of this duty-free component, there is there are the other commercial rental revenue drivers which relate to the shops and F&B related revenue. The bottom line on this slide is the mix is going higher, the margins are higher, there is predictability because of the duty-free concession signed in 2018, which provide a minimum revenue guarantee and has a higher variable component to it as compared to pre-2017. So those are the key points for new investors or new folks trying to understand Shanghai Airport. This slide, I won't spend a lot of time. It just has some of the operational stats, but essentially the key point here is that on the second segment, which is non-aero, this is driven by duty-free revenues. The key point is the retail revenue per passenger is going higher. As I said, it's still one-third of Paris and very low compared to Hong Kong and Singapore. And this should trend higher. There are some slides on the industry. I won't spend a lot of time here. This slide essentially talks about China's rising middle class, which should multiply over the next decade. That is almost a sure bet. The next slide talks about the non-aero segment again, the point of comparison between Shanghai Airport and some of the other airports like Hong Kong, Seoul, Singapore, and Paris. The non-aero side of the revenues is much lower. Paris offers an interesting case study, as you can see on this on the right hand side. They grew the average retail sales for passenger from 11 to almost the current levels, which is about 18. So it shows that volume growth can even mature. An airport can find new growth drivers in improving the managing of its non-aero business. Finally, before I turn it over to John, this is just some a modeling extract on the operating cost breakdown. There are a couple key points. The operating margins have improved over the last few years, primarily as a result of mix change. The two main costs here are D&A and labor costs. We model them to be largely consistent with the past, but the margin should improve as a result of the revenue mix. With that, I'm just going to turn it over to John to provide some comments on the next four slides.
Great. Thank you, Sid. So here on page 16, we have the key point is that first on the top left, revenue growth, right? Shanghai Airport has seen revenue growth since the beginning of its listing, you know, as early as 1998. And from 2000 to 2017, we're seeing a 14% top-line CAGR. This is underpinned by consistent passenger throughput. You know, domestic passenger has tripled during this period, and international passenger volume has doubled. So this is the past. In the future, we forecast predictable low to mid double digits driven by the factors we discussed. And on the bottom graph, we see the net profits. Shanghai Airport has been profitable for all the past 18 years, two phases, right? Before 2008, and then you see after 2008, after the financial crisis, due to the increasing mix of non-aero revenues, we're seeing the bottom line quadrupling, right? This is due to the increasing mix of non-aero revenues. We also expect low to mid-teens net profit growth for the foreseeable decade to come. And moving on to the next slide. In this slide relates back to the non-aero segment as we have highlighted. So the duty-free concession revenue, as illustrated in the table, is about 80% of the commercial rental revenue. It is the key driver. The key change that happened around 2017 and 18 was that the long-term previous duty-free concessions signed around 2007 and 8 between Shanghai Airport and the duty-free operator Sunrise Duty-Free has expired. You know, back 10 years ago, it was with a low minimum guarantee and a low revenue sharing cost. They didn't foresee the increasing international traffic mix could be so as much as today. So in 2018, they signed a new contract with Sunrise Duty-Free. And what was special was that they disclosed the minimum guarantee from 2019 to 2025. As you can see in the table highlighted with a red box. So this is going to go from 3.5 billion RMB to 8 billion RMB and almost 15% CAGR in the 7-year period. And we believe this provides a very predictable and high margin business for Shanghai Airport. And moving on to the next slide, we have the new satellite terminal, right? This slide relates to the satellite terminal 1 and 2, as Sid mentioned earlier on the assets part. This will open in the second half of this year and is expected to bring an additional 60% passenger capacity and, most importantly, a double of the current duty-free rental area on top of the existing 7.8K square meters. And moving on to the next slide, this is just a summary. How we see Shanghai Airport is that it's got a long operating history with predictable earnings power, an ability to have a strong profitability through cycles, high barriers to entry on top of a respectable management team, and this is all reflected by a robust financials characterized by strong FCF generation.
Yeah, so with that, thank you very much, John. With that, we would now just provide some benchmarking analysis. As I said, I tend to focus my time focusing on having a watch list of 60 to 80 high quality businesses in Asia, across China, India, et cetera. And I spent a little bit of time on, also illiquid securities, illiquid securities that are lower market cap, that tend to have less liquidity, for probably about 15-20% of my portfolio. But, as, portfolio sizes grow, we decide to look for large and liquid, companies, and Shanghai Airport, is one that we were inspired because of the Charlie Munger video. So here on this slide, it highlights a few key, points. On a peers basis, a simple, glance here tells us that Shanghai Airport has amongst the highest operating profitability and the highest net profitability. Furthermore, it's one of the only two net cash companies. In the FCF comments below, we highlight that some of the peers, namely in Paris, Sydney, Frankfurt, et cetera, they essentially fund the dividends through issuance of debt and equity, not solely by free cash flow in itself. This is not so for Shanghai Airport. It has, as Charlie Munger mentioned in the video, it has a net cash balance sheet. The company has paid down debt previously and generate significant cash flow. And as we expect retail revenue per passenger to rise, as we expect the increase in the non-aero side, as John mentioned, the 15% CAGR because of the minimum guarantee, we're quite comfortable with our free cash flow assumptions looking out 3, 5, 10 years from now. And so in addition, you also see Shanghai Airport ranks highly, not just in terms of having a profitable margin profile, but also in terms of its growth profile, which is very important when investing in Asia. If you look at, for example, Paris Airport, it has net debt, it has a slower revenue growth, lower margins, but still trades at 26, 25 to 30 times price to earnings ratio. It was Shanghai Airport, which on a forward 1 to 2 year basis trades at just 15 to 18x x cash. The Sydney Airport is, again, its net debt has lower growth, very dependent on Chinese outbound passengers. It funds its high dividend yield through debt. And so don't be fooled by the high dividend. And it also trades at a 40 times price to earnings ratio, which is quite egregious. And then if you look at Frankfurt, net debt, again, lower growth, funding dividend through debt and equity. Zurich, I'm not an expert, but again, net debt, lower growth, trade that, well, sort of mid to high teens multiples, but much less the growth profile and the number of passengers in China. And so that concludes our short presentation on Shanghai Airport. Here are just some of the multiples and our forecasts for some of these multiples and the cash flow forecast and the price earnings forecast. So with that, I'd like to conclude the presentation and just open it up to any questions if you have any.
Wonderful. Well, Sid and John, thank you so much for that insightful presentation. Just a reminder to everyone on the line, if you do have a question, feel free to type it into the online interface at this time. I'd be curious if you could comment a little bit more on how the Chinese government or the regulators could affect returns to shareholders over the long term. What are the potential risks there, if any?
Thanks, John, for the question. So on this front, right, we got to understand how the Chinese government thinks and where are their incentives. So the Shanghai government is owned 53% by the Shanghai Airport Group, which is in turn owned by the Shanghai Municipal Government. And the incentives of, we believe the incentives of the local government is aligned with the shareholders because they care about increasing passenger throughput, increasing status of Shanghai Airport as an international hub, both from the local government perspective and the national government. So they're trying to promote Shanghai Airport as an international aviation hub that to compete with other hubs in Asia. So from that perspective, we believe the strong government support is key for Shanghai Airport to have a strong, stable growth in the foreseeable future, underpinned by that. And then while on top of that, we have non-aero revenues ramping up, able to really capitalize on that increasing traffic.
So we largely think, investing in China, John, there's always that, you sit far away, you think, they're going to screw minority shareholders, but in the case of Shanghai Airport and some of the companies we invest in, we feel that the price adequately, the price and the predictability and the growth runway and their track record in capital allocation that we've seen over the last 10 years does not merit for a cause of a greater concern than we need to. And so, that's how we'll answer the question.
And I'm just wondering, over the very long term, or how these business models work, it seems that a few airports globally, maybe in Thailand or other places, actually have multiple airports. How would that kind of a growth strategy work? Could that be realistic at some point? If you could just share your thoughts on sort of going from one city and maybe taking over an airport somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, specifically the Thailand airport, you were right in that they own, I haven't looked very closely at Thailand airport, but they own a number of airports across Thailand, where Shanghai airport is just one, you know, it's Pudong International. As John mentioned, they are very focused on kind of making Shanghai airport the international hub. And so it's not a collection of assets. I think Airports Thailand has like 20 plus airports, but we think it's kind of ridiculous that the airport in Thailand has 3x the market cap of Shanghai. In terms of the business model specifically, John, you know, I think, you know, we, you know, it's a fairly simple business model, right? Here, you know, we know the assets they own, which are the terminals and the runways, and essentially they're very strong SOE backing, you know, low cost of capital, and then they have two main revenue streams: the aero side, which, you know, will grow low single, you know, mid to high single digits, driven by passengers and planements, etc. This is a low margin business, and the non-aero side. Why we decided to present the idea is obviously it's for two reasons. One, obviously, we're inspired by Charlie Munger idea. We understand even Li Lu, you know, Himalaya Capital fame is who Charlie Munger refers to in the video on the young Chinese. Well, you know, Li Lu, and so we're inspired by that because we think they are, you know, very astute. Li Lu's very astute investor. In China with an impeccable track record. And second, the game changer for Shanghai Airport that we presented is the duty-free concession. So they as John mentioned, there's a renegotiation of that, and there's significant escalation of minimum guarantee payment of duty-free concession and the variable part. And this is predictable for the next 10 years. So on the non-aero business model side, that revenue stream is very predictable, it's high margin, and it's set in stone. So what we like is the predictability nature, and this is why we decided to present the idea. And of course, the long-term structural trend is undeniable. You know, even Japanese companies, the ones that we find interesting, are fueled by the Chinese consumer demand. You know, you see Chinese tourists all over Europe. And so this is, we think it's a long-term idea. Sorry, Nate, perhaps I didn't answer the question directly, but in terms of differences between the airports, there certainly are. I'm not a sector, you know, I don't know the airports Thailand in great amount of detail, but I just don't know why airports Thailand should be three, you know, well, 2x, I guess, the market cap of Shanghai Airport, and at one time was 3x the market cap of Shanghai Airport. We obviously bought the stock at much lower prices than where it is today, but we think it's very interesting given the predictability of the duty-free concession.
One other question. In some major cities around the world, let's say New York or London, or soon Berlin, there's more than one airport. Do you see any risk of that kind of competition coming in Shanghai at some point?
Yeah. So for Shanghai Airport, we spoke to the company, and right now, no one knows for sure, but what they told us was that Pudong Airport is a very strategic airport, and it's very likely that there will be no third airport in the region. So right now it's not set in stone, but from the message we get in our research process, we do get the sense that the competition risk is very low for Shanghai Airport compared to, say, Beijing Airport, which is currently facing a second airport this year.
Yeah, John, our research suggests that Shanghai, that the strategic element of making that an international airport is a very high priority for China. And so the competitive risk is very low. And look, every business has competition, but this is, you know, Charlie Munger says, look for durable competitive advantages. And we think this has a high competitive advantage. There are risks, will evolve, you know, we will monitor the security you know, there's a price to buy, there's a price to sell. You know, we think that the idea deserves a place on a core China watch list. And as Mr. Market in China is, you know, very greedy or very fearful, you know, investor, prudent value investor, long-term investor that understands the predictability of the earnings because of the duty-free concession we spoke about, can take advantage because it's easy to forecast that. That's set in stone, and so you can understand the normalized profitability over time. And so we think that that catalyst last year really made the idea quite compelling. But to answer your question, we think the competition risk for Shanghai Airport is quite low based on our discussions with the company. With visits to China and the strategic element of the location.
Wonderful. Well, I'll leave it there. I'm sure many of our members had heard Charlie Munger's comments, and it's really wonderful that you guys have done the in-depth work and that you've taken the time to come here and share this with our community. We truly appreciate it. Thanks so much, Sid and John.
Okay, thank you, John. Thanks for the invite. Bye.
Goodbye for now.